Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accepted As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accepted As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accepted As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining today on the Accepted As I Am radio show. Thank you to Courtney's, who is producing and hosting this. Thank you to Penny. And really thank you to you who's listening, because you've taken this time to get to know your brilliance, your beauty, and come to the next expansion of who and what you truly are. And in this North American culture, or if you're listening across the world, at this industrial growth society would be the general term, time tends to be one of the greatest gifts we can give to ourselves, isn't it? When we really take time to look within, to be with ourselves, to slow down, to step out of business as usual. And then we also know that even just changing our daily patterns can cause some great change within. Pretty common thing that people do to teach this concept is, if you have your hands free, go ahead and put your fingers together and cross your thumbs. So go ahead and do that. And as you put your hands, you're like gripping your hands, your fingers are crossed, and then you cross your thumbs to do it. Now just notice what thumb you have on top. 80 to 90% of people will cross the right thumb over the left. Why? I don't know. Just we all tend to be in this unified field or this consciousness. Now, go ahead and cross your fingers a little bit differently. And if you had the right over left, put the left over right, and vice versa. Good. Do you notice how that feels a little weird in your body? So when we begin to step out of our usual patterns or usual ways of operating, there's discomfort, right? It's uncomfortable. And pardon the plane. Let's give that a second. All right. So when we step out of them, it's uncomfortable. And there's somehow a belief in spiritual growth, self-growth, that you shouldn't be uncomfortable. Or if there's discomfort, then you must be going in the wrong direction. And growing is challenging. You know, there's challenge. You're going to be challenged. And are you going to call upon that resilience, that conviction within you? Or are you going to give up? And if you give up, no big deal, in the sense that life will not give up on you. God, life, creation will not give up on you. So on the Accepted As I Am radio show and in my sessions and my retreats, I begin with stating the intention that you are already whole. I am already whole. We are whole and complete. We are complete expressions of creation of God, and we're waking up to that more and more each day. In our ability, actually, to hold paradox. You know, too often in the more masculine, patriarchal way of approaching ourselves, emotions are seen as something to push out, move through. But in the more matriarchal or midwifing approach of your soul, which allows a more felt experience of God, more embodied experience of love, rather than it being a theory or a theology that can be argued or a belief system that can be argued. So in the felt system, in the midwifing, in the mothering energy of spiritual growth, which I tend to favor and tend to teach, you embrace emotions as something to be loved. You see the darkness or the fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness as something to be embraced. Oh, a lot of planes today. There is a little airport over in Canton, next to here, next to Plymouth, where I'm at. So emotions are not something to transcend, to religiously bypass, meaning have some theology to just ignore it, or to run away from. And that when you have that kind of approach, it is very much like if a knife was coming at you, you're leaning towards the knife. Your logical mind, the more mechanistic, linear mind, to say, this does not make sense. I'm going to sit and be with this pain, this anger, this sadness. Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's what has changed the hundreds of lives that I've worked with. And this approach is nothing new. It's Shamatha, I'm not saying it right, Shamatha Vipassana, compassionate observation. So there's a form of Buddhism that teaches this approach. Pema Chodron, one of my people I admire, and I call her one of my teachers, she teaches this approach as well. So it tends to be not as popular because it's not the quick fix. It's definitely gives you greater results though, because you get to feel creation in your toes and in your bones. It's just not something you have to think. You get to feel love, spirit, God as you. I mean, what could be more important, right? I mean, to me, that's like, why you could go to a weekend Dale Carnegie thing, or you could go to a weekend transformation, which is great, you know, learn some techniques. But it's really a process. It's really a life commitment to become an embodiment of love, an embodiment of creation, and really getting honest with ourselves how we're still looking for that quick fix rather than really yielding to that process that's happening. My article for next month goes into a little bit more detail of this, but I was seeing with when I like to do weightlifting as a way of just focusing my mind and energy a couple times a week. Because when I'm in session, I'm pretty much in a more of a meditative state. The Divine Mother takes me over, and people, you know, it's more of a meditative energy that I'm in. And so I was weightlifting in the morning, and I was trying to go from a deadlift of 200 to 220, and I put on two 10-pound plates. You can put them on each end. And I couldn't do it. Just my body wouldn't do it. I'm like, okay, you know, listen to your body. But then I'm like, well, maybe I'll try putting a little circular 5-pound plate on each end and see what happens. So as I did that, you know, starting off with the 5, the 10, the 15, the 20. No, I think I used 2.5 on each side. That's what I did. 20. And I was really surprised. I was like, wow, a slower approach, and I got greater results. And then, of course, we see that in farming, right? When we let things grow at the pace that they want to go at, we get actually more nutritious, better tasting fruits and vegetables. When we try to jack them up with fertilizers and pesticides, they look pretty, they grow fast, but they're not so great for our bodies. And then we also see that in spiritual growth, too. You know, there's a lot of systems that are you know, grow in a weekend, grow in a night, which, you know, those give some great techniques, but it just doesn't give a long sustaining support to someone. And it kind of gives the illusion that you can, and it's not, I mean, we are complete expressions of God, but we're here to grow, you know, and I was really present too, which you may sense a little bit of the sadness in my voice right now, and not sadness, just kind of a, well, maybe it is sadness, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like a reverence for me right now is my next willingness to really honor the mother, to respect and honor the earth, my body, my emotions, everything that's a mothering principle. So that's your body, your earth, your sexuality. That's the mothering principles are also community, the purpose of space, holding of space, right? So holding space for someone. It's receptivity. It's nourishment. It's stillness. Did I say emotions? I think I did already. And then fathering energy is more conviction, focus, kind of a think positive kind of direction, have faith, assertion, boundaries, a protective fathering energy or container. It's the fence that goes around the garden. The garden would be more of the mothering energy. So you get the idea. And I just became really aware this week of how I was disrespecting myself and disrespecting what I've been teaching for the last 15 years. And, you know, I started 25 years ago, I dedicated my life to spiritual growth. I was in my teens. But I can say around 1997, thanks to my dad, was exposed to an amazing, legendary holistic healer, Dr. Ernest Scheer. And I still had much to catch up with my growth. And he just saw something in me, and he took me on as an intern. And I came to these doctor meetings with him. And that was like around 1997. And I was so angry that the messages of sin and what has been done to women and indigenous cultures through religion. And he handed me a book called Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady. And that little book changed my life. I mean, it got me going. Him and that book and Dr. Scheer, who just really embodied that God is love. I mean, what a simple message, right? God is love. And so my Catholic upbringing and when I was 11, arguing with the nun that I will not call myself beneath a Blue Jay singing over there. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It's singing loud. So anyways. So I remember I was 11, 12, arguing with the nun that I will not call myself beneath man. And she was insisting that I was. And I was just saying, I'm an equal. thank God that I had that knowing. And thank God to my mom for not forcing me to follow what the nun was saying. Dr. Scheer was really... And then 3 years later, I think I've told the story before, but that was where I met my hero, my mentor, that I also was introduced to through my dad. Just such a gift of choosing the father I did. And he was like my guru, my hero, my mentor. And I interned with him for about 2-3 years and got one of my degrees through his school. And he was convinced that I was going to hell because I'm bisexual. And now, mind you, I'm only like 23, 24, and this is my hero. This is my mentor. And so I really believed it, even though the angels and spirit was saying something different to me. So for about a year, I went into the dark night of the soul. And see, you don't go into the dark night of the soul like right away. It's usually about 3 years, 3 or 4 years into your commitment to grow spiritually that it happens. It's that place when you touch death. You die, essentially. And a lot of people, they hear about the dark night, they say, oh, yeah, I've been through that. No, that's depression is not dark night of the soul. Dark night of the soul is when you want to die and you can't hear God. Like, you've lost the connection. And it happens usually at the pinnacle of your connection with yourself and God. And that's when it happened for me. And at the end of that year, and I write about this in Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, I was reaching my hands up to God, and this is like, you know, I was listening to Joyce Meyer at the time, who also believed gay people go to hell, which that wasn't probably the best person to be listening to, even though I actually appreciate her and really admire her today. I love her lectures. I really love her fire. But at the time, yeah, that's what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, the Divine Mother came to me, Mother Mary. You can describe her, you know, in your understanding, it could be Kali. You could think of her as Kali in the Hindu tradition. You could think of her as Isis in the Egyptian. You could think of her as the Green Tara in Buddhism, or Kuan Yin. Or you could think of her as Mother Mary. It's the same, kind of the same flavor of ice cream. And she came and she delivered me. She said, you know, Barbara, she didn't say it like that, but in the moment I knew only love was real. That only love was real. In that moment, I knew everything that I was being told by my hero and my mentor wasn't true. And I knew that I was loved exactly how I was, completely and totally blissfully loved. And then that's when I cut my hair real short, almost cut it all off, and dedicated my life completely to service. And that's when my career took off. And shortly after that, I started writing for Chicago and Health and Fitness Times. It just came into my door, and then and then Penny showed up, beautiful Penny Golden, and offered me to write for the magazine, and, you know, just things from there, from that commitment. And so that was 15 years ago that happened. And so what I have done, and I realized in disrespecting the mother, is I've just been kind of giving it away for free, you know, the teachings, and not really honoring and respecting what I have to teach. And, you know, and if you offer a free buffet, people are going to show up. So I could blame other people, but I don't do that. I take full 100% responsibility for my experience. So I've just really had that realization of, like, wow, I've really been disrespecting my journey. And even though I love my sessions and I'm having a great time, and I still got incredible things happening in my life, you know, just this next layer. And and that's the other thing is too, that's been happening even more so. It's always happened, but spontaneous shifts in session. People have, the mother comes in, you know, believe me, when I'm telling you this, I am no different than you. I have insecurities and fears, and my humanness is full blown every day. And if I don't meditate and I don't do some type of physical exercise, I'm crazy lady in the day. So what I'm about to say, you know, we all have gifts, and but I've seen for the last 15 years spontaneous shifts. People in therapy for 10 years, and one session they shift. And I've joked, because I'm like, that happens so much, I can't even tell you, that I've joked that, you know, I need to start charging $1,000 a session, which, you know, I joke, but maybe I need to start doing that. Come in for one session, 10 years of therapy, and you just spent, you know, therapy costs good penny. And at the same time that happens, I also know that there's a growth process, right? So somewhat an energy that I run or a weekend workshop can unstick you, definitely. But that's just the beginning, right? So, you know, even though that can happen, it's really the long, slow growth that's the most important thing. It's great to be unstuck, yes, if you've had your tire wheel deep in the mud and someone gives you a hand up and you're out of the mud. Because what happens actually with my sessions is people get out of the mud, their relationships fall in place, they feel better, and then about a month and a half later, it's usually about 6 weeks, the next piece comes up. It's not weekly like traditional therapy. It's about 6 weeks in, and they're surprised. You know, they're like, oh, I thought I was done with this. I thought it was over. And because there's such an opening in the first few sessions that they, it's almost like they feel like they've failed. So I got a reminder, too, to just, I have guidelines written on my website, and I need to keep on reminding myself to go over that with people. Like, hey, the next layer's going to come up. Hey, this is about the slow growth. And at the same time, the Divine Mother's been saying the earth, the elementals, that are all components, Kuan Yin, of the mother, been saying to me in my own heart, of course, is all part of that, in, as, and through us, meaning creation is in, is us, it goes through us. We are both a channel and we are it, holding that paradox in our heart. Anyways, so at the same time, if I'm here to serve and people are here to get that one dose shift, that's all right too. It's, you know, it's humbly bow to what that person needs, not what I think they need. So just an incredible lesson this last few days of, well, actually last couple weeks, but especially last few days of bringing deeper reverence to my own journey and what I've trained in, and the, you know, being auricular medicine certified, trained in 7 different forms of Reiki, trained in Qigong for the last 20 years. You know, it goes on and on. You trained in the Ascension process, the Ascension with Dr. Joshua Stone, and local teacher Monk Mahdi did that for 2 years. And so it's just, you know, there's a time when your eyes open up and you're like, wow, I have not been acknowledging myself. So my wonderful vulnerability right now, hopefully it inspires you to acknowledge yourself. Because when we see how we're not respecting ourselves, or I mean, you could take it to the extreme saying betraying ourselves, but it doesn't feel that deep. It doesn't feel like that for me. It just feels like disrespect. And then what I would mistakenly do is I would teach self-acceptance teachers training and then expect people to know it in a year. And I still can't believe that, you know, I did that. Like, I remember at the end of 1 year, these amazing therapologists that were part of it, one psychologist, a therapist, two yoga teachers, and a reverend. And I was teaching them the self-acceptance process and the perceived protector work and the duality releases and belief releases that I teach. And it's developed through now 30,000 session hours in communion with the mother. So in experience, and what works for people, you know, that's what I'm interested in, what works. At the end of it, they looked at us, going to the plural now, they looked at me and said, we don't get it. You know, we got all the techniques, we got the thing, but we don't get it. And then that was a few years ago. And then they actually, a couple of them come back to me and said, you know, took us a couple years. You know, it's interesting that I somehow thought people could get it in a year, where it took me, it's taking me 25 years, but 15 years of professional use in 1997, whatever, how many years that is, 18 years of really deep commitment to the spiritual growth. I mean, so how ignorant have I been? Oh, tell you what, this radio show today, dear listener, is going down in history for me. Because I'm done. Like, I can feel I'm done. I'm done doing whatever I was doing to disrespect. And I know I still will teach people the processes, but I will also be very clear that it takes a minimum of 3 years of deep commitment to even fully get them. And it takes at least 10,000 hours of service using it to really master it. At least 10,000 hours. And that's, you know, I'm glad I finally got it. It's a good time I finally got it. So how about you join me in this, if you would, and just see what needs to be honored and respected in you. Your struggles, your learnings, things that you've accomplished. What are you willing to realize you haven't been acknowledging in you? Let the vibration, the energy that I'm offering, be an opportunity to see that in yourself. Because it's there. How do I know it's there? Well, because, you know, what I'm doing is nothing new under the sun. We all disrespect the mothering energy. And what do I mean by that is, you know, we call emotions weak, right? And I remember one of my teachers, Penny Weaver, who I love. She transitioned a few years ago, but I remember when she was talking about the earth energies and the fairies, and I remember even thinking this thought of how silly she was. You know, how weird, how silly. And now I realize that is the earth energy is connecting to the earth and to the plants, and our food and our body is really the way we're going to change the world. Flashback 13 years ago, when somebody was saying the same thing to me, I said, how silly. I remember growing up, and my mom would cry when she saw an animal killed. And I remember thinking, how weak, what a weak woman. I was never going to be a weak woman like that. And then later on, I realized that that empathy, that connection that she felt with the animals, that was power. And so in our culture and in the world, we've confused what is really real power, right? We believe power is something to be over somebody, to dominate someone, a hierarchical power, a power that says, I'm bigger than you, I'm stronger than you. In my fourth book that's coming up, I'll tell you about it more later. It's very exciting. It's going to be my best one yet. I have an analogy of there are two kings, and one king says, I can make one of my servants jump off a cliff. And then the other king says, well, I can allow a servant to sit at my table. You know, and what kind of king or queen are we? Do you want to be? One that is sitting at the table with people, or one that gets people to jump off a cliff? And so we've confused what power is. We think it is this kind of controlling, I've got to have more control, more power, and I don't feel safe if somebody's truly, truly my equal. And I get it. You know, I get it. As you approach people as an equal, they will confuse that as, they at times will confuse that as you're not as, they will disrespect. And I'm okay. I mean, like, I'm aware of that. It's discernment. So you'd be aware of that too, right? Because if someone is in the old model of power, and you aren't, you know, flexing your cock feathers, and you're seeing them as equal, they may try to disrespect you. But as long as you're not disrespecting you, and I'm not disrespecting myself anymore, then you can say something that will define the energy. Something like, I really feel that this doesn't feel right to me right now, and, you know, I need this, you know, declaring a boundary. I feel I need component of nonviolent communication. And you can always look up, always want to put a word out to nonviolent communication created by Marshall Rosenberg. If you have not read that book, I highly, highly, highly advise it. And it's like almost every, especially if you're ever going to work with people, you know, if you're a healer, pretty crucial that you read that book or you plan to lead, because it's such an incredible, so simple. So really coming to deeply acknowledging yourself and things that you've been through, things that you've learned. My old roommate, Brian, he a friend and brother, he started this process he shared with me, that he started writing down, what do I know? And I think that would be a great thing for you to start for your journal. What do I know? And not know like mentally memorized facts. No, it's like, what do I know in my bones? What do I know in my heart? What experience brought me there? And really honoring the feminine within yourself, because it's not until a man and woman honor their feminine can they really come into a state of embodiment or felt sense or connection with the earth and with God, goddess, however you want to word it. I was at the conference at Renaissance Unity last weekend. Spectacular, mind-blowing, amazing. And Lame Obi, with a G, G-W-O-B-B-E. I think I pretty much got her name. But Lame won the Nobel Peace Prize 2011. And her story is amazing. They also have a documentary about there, Pray the Devil Back to Hell. And in Liberia, they are gutting pregnant women. They're actively places where that women are raped. And she got a message to pray for peace and create prayer circles of women to pray for peace. And she, her story is spectacular. She was leading this group and said, you know, who am I to lead this group? I'm an unmarried woman. I have three kids. And then, you know, kept on resisting it and then finally accepted her her calling to lead. And then the women said, no, you cannot lead us because you fornicate. And the grandmother stood up and they, so the women will do, you know, the very energy that creates the raping and the dishonoring of the feminine women on the planet is propagated by women, right? And so the grandmother stood up and said, listen, she is, here's all the reasons she is of integrity and an amazing woman, and here's the parts of the different leaders of the Bible, the women that were taken out, the Sophias and the Anns. And they stood up for her. And she later on went on to, she tells a story about the 2 months of peace negotiations in her country, 100 women hooked arms, and they created a circle around the negotiations, and they said, you will find peace now. And they tried to arrest her and threatened her with machine guns, her specifically, and they didn't back down. And within 2 weeks, there was peace. And the first ever law for positive for women in Liberia was money paid to women that had been in the slavery businesses. I don't know what they call them there, but you get the idea. Money was paid for them to people that have endured that, and so it was the first time that the government had really acknowledged what was happening. She said, you know, they would say the thing that's happening in our country, but they wouldn't say the mass rape, the gutting, the stoning, all the stuff that was happening. So that woman was there Saturday. Jewel was there, and now Jewel, you know, the Grammy Award winning artist, she, oh my God, she was amazing. Did not know that she was had a really rough childhood, and left home at 15, and she tells a story of just having a leather jacket and a knife. And she blew everyone away in her love and her authenticity. She said something that ties into so much of self-acceptance. She said, the moment I decided to show my flaws is when everyone was drawn to me. And her story of how that happened, of like she decided and she started singing about that, and she was surprised, you know, that people weren't shocked or and ran away from her, that she shared her flaws, but she did in her music. And she said, stop trying to use your art to be so perfect. And and everyone's jaw was literally on the ground. She sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I didn't know she had a children's lullaby CD. And she told about her years of being homeless and where the song Who Will Save Your Soul, that she saw that people were just not willing to take responsibility for themselves. And that's really the point of the song, which, I mean, you pretty much gather that by hearing it, but her backstory of how she was watching that as she was homeless, and she was homeless because she, you have to read her book. She actually has a book out that if you didn't make it to last Saturday, her book is I would just, even looking into it would just really be inspiring. And then Marianne Williamson was there, and of course she was amazing. And she spoke about, you know, getting out of your own way, stop being so preoccupied with yourself. And LeMay, I want to circle back to LeMay, she kept on stressing that it's okay to doubt. I love that. And that's something you've heard me teach as well, that, you know, every time I've written a book or every time when I started the radio show, I had so much doubt and insecurity, but I did it anyway, you know. One of my mentees, one of my mentees, she was saying how she, you know, can't get her website out. She's just so scared and feels like she's going to die. And I replied to her. I said, well, go ahead and die then. You are going to die. When you do that thing, when you express love, when you believe in your dream, whether it's to be a poet or to create a, like my one friend who created a community walk group just amazing, and how it's helped women in her area, or it's local action with your community, with your family. When you do that thing, or you begin to express what's on your heart, yeah, you're going to feel like you're going to die, because there is that littleness, that selfishness, that is dying. That's dying. So there is a death. And again, I think when you start expressing the writing, the signature on your heart, whether it be singing or poetry, there's a part of you that wants to hold on to your husband or wife, or wants to hold on to your, is really scared that your current life is going to change. Because it will. It will change. And can you look within your heart and say, I'm willing to change? And then maybe even witness the part that's not willing to change. When I've taken these steps or moved in this direction, I've always sensed my resistance to change. And maybe it's because I meditate every day. But you too can do that. Just 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the morning. Notice that resistance. Notice what's coming up. Be still enough, quiet enough, because the resistance is the fertilizer, right, or the mud. And if you can just welcome that vibration, if you can be with it, then it can actually serve as your ally instead of draining your energy. No resistance to offering something that you can offer to a neighbor, or calling that person, or stepping out and volunteering, or whatever it is that would really, what's that thing that will really be fun and inspiring? That'll get you out of yourself. One of the fastest ways to stop being so preoccupied with your own fears and insecurities, of course, is to love and serve another. But love and serve them not from a place of ego, like I'm better than you, and also love and serve them as from a place of knowing that you are giving to feel that love is you, that what's flowing through you is you, and not giving that power away to some deity in the sky. Although there's plenty of deities that want to support us. we project both our darkness and our light onto others. And it's when we project our dark, of course, that's judging people, but we also project our light, believing that, like, what I'm doing, like, oh, you can't have a radio show and you can't do healing work. Yes, you got to put in the time and the energy and the training and the inner growth, mainly, because a healer is not... healer's not really learned, it's born. It's birthed inside of you from honoring and loving your own darkness. So it's remembering that thing, that calling that's within you, it's going to be uncomfortable at first. And if you're already doing it, great. If you're already serving and remembering that energy is you, it's going through you. And at the same time, it's, not about us at all. It's about the vision that we hold. It's about helping the planet. It's about the animals, about the children. It's about the person that you're serving. So even though that energy is a part of you, it has nothing to do with you. You personally, me personally. This radio show has nothing to do about glorifying me. It's about, can this help you? Can this serve you? Can this help the community? And if it has in any way, then I'm grateful. If hearing my story of disrespecting the mother, disrespecting myself, has inspired you into greater self-respect, awesome. Absolutely awesome. Or to maybe look at how are you disrespecting your food or your body, or things that you've learned in your life and then you just kind of take it for granted and push past it. If it had inspired you in any way to look at that, then awesome. And as always, I ask if this resonates with you to pass this radio show on to someone. Take that risk. I know there's a fear of people thinking you're weird or thinking you're woo-woo. Again, you just have to take that risk. So the conference Saturday also had Ricky Byers Beckwith, who is just spectacular, and really authenticity and mothering energy and her song. It also had Kim. It also had Cookie Roberts, who's a state senate. So it was women. And it was not called it on the advertising, but a women's conference. And it just blew me away, the intensity, the amount of, I mean, four-time Grammy Award winner. I mean, even though that's not what impressed me. What impressed me was her learnings that she had learned through being homeless and through having the parents that Jewel did. But so between the Nobel Peace Laureate winner and Marion Williamson and Ricky Byers-Beckwith, and it just amazed me there wasn't more people there. It completely floored me. And it kind of reminded me of, like, well, it's mostly women. That if it was this could be an assumption, but if there was, when I've seen Ricky's husband there, Michael Beckwith, the place was packed. But he wouldn't be able to do what he does without her music, without her energy there, the mothering energy there, holding, she's like the womb to his message. It's interesting, she spoke Saturday about how she felt diminished by him, and about how she let her voice be quiet. This amazing, spectacular, and she talked about how she has a message to teach too, that she's a spiritual teacher too, and she wasn't honoring that in herself. I can see right now how she inspired me into this realization today, in the last couple of days. She just really powerfully and humbly said that. She's like, yeah, I just let him diminish. I let him diminish me. I thought I had nothing to say. And I could see so clearly, energetically, she is the womb. She is the holder. He would not be without that energy in his spiritual center. And I sense that he knows that, because his reverence and deep, deep, deep respect for her. But of course, she had to find that within herself. And so it was just amazing to me how there was not that many people there. Even one of those presenters, Marion by herself, or Ricky, or the Nobel, I mean, people were so blown out by the end of the the end of the day. It was almost too much. It was, I was having to go out and do Qigong by the tree and recenter and ground the energy. It was so much. But I could see other people didn't have those tools in their toolbox, and they were like kind of getting spacey and yawning and having trouble really grounding and embodying the energy. So people, there was no shortage of power and brilliance in her music, but people started leaving about halfway through Ricky's, because she was the last person, because I could see they were tired, they were yawning, they were worn out, they couldn't take any more in. It was almost like too much good. You know, you ever had that experience where too much good? Well, if you haven't, you could have had it Saturday. Hopefully Renaissance Unity is going to have this again next year. My intention, and you can quote me on this, is I want to be one of the speakers. I'm really excited about this new book. It's Finding the One, and it's tells about my journey of forgetting that the One was inside of me, of my years of dating and intimacy work, and it's got some really funny stories in there. And I know, you know, ultimately, it's like good to know. Like, I know this in my core now, that the One is me. I am the One. And of course, when I realized that, I had literally partners, I had men and women beating down my door asking me on dates. It's really, you know, it's everything that we always hear. Love yourself, and then the love will show up. However, when you hear that, when you're single, and you've been in a relationship that didn't meet your needs spiritually or physically, and you're already feeling pretty hungry for that, and somebody says, love yourself, and love will show up, you want to punch them in the face. At least I did. but I, of course, that was my direction, and that's what I teach people as well. But initially, it's like, God, be quiet. Shut up. it was quite a journey, and I am excited for this book, because it's taking me in a new direction same direction, but a kind of a new one, of really bringing forward some of the journeys there, as well as I'll tell you more about it when it's and it's in its final stages. But I'm very excited about it. It's the potency in it is it's holy cats, as one of my students says, holy cats. All right, so let me take you through a meditation today. It feels like I've been telling a whole bunch of story, but not offering a lot of processes today. And I'm just welcoming in the Divine Mother, allowing her to carry the vibration, the earth. And just tuning in for a moment into your feet and into your legs. See what's alive and present in you. Remember, felt sense is different than emotion, and your body is also an expression of creation. So your felt sense can be incredible tools of what are you really feeling. Your felt sense is your hot, cold, tense, relaxed. And that when you can feel your feet and legs, the presence, you can feel a tingling maybe, you are in the center of your energy. Your soul is not a thing or some floaty cloud. It is a place. And if you sit in that place, that mansion that your soul is, you will feel felt sense through your feet and through your legs. We're going to do a reset, a calming of your immune system. The immune system, if it's continually on fight or flight or sympathetic activity, it gets tired, it gets drained, and you want your immune system to move your immune system out of the Western model that's more patriarchal, antibody, into a more mothering approach to your body, which is to see your immune system, your lymphatic system, your gut, as something that you want to create harmony in, flow, movement. So it's the difference between harmony, flow, movement, or an approach of antiviral, antibacterial. You see the difference? It's the difference between Mother Teresa, who would not go to a anti-war protest. She would go to a peace protest, a more mothering energy. So again, come back and let's calm your immune system by bringing a beautiful blue up through your feet and through your legs. Let the Earth Mother, let the Earth energies, Mother Mary, welcome that blue through your feet, through your legs, and up through your torso. Let that blue fill your digestive tract and all the Peyer's patches there. That's the area of your immune system that regulates your flow in your body. 70% of your immune system is in your small intestine. Good. And let that small intestine, which is right around your navel area, be filled with that blue energy, calming, relaxing, resetting you into the earth. Being still with each breath. Let that blue now travel up. If you have any congestion in your body, remember that congestion, lung or sinus or ear otherwise, comes from your digestion. So if you have congestion in your immune system, in your small intestine, that congestion will come out through your sinuses, through your lungs, through your ears. Let that blue now fill your lungs. And fill your thymus gland that sits right in your breastbone, letting it calm, relax, reset. Beautiful. Let that blue now travel up your spinal cord. Sits in the center of your vertebrae. Let it bathe and support your spinal cord. Let that blue go up and reset, rebalance each vertebrae of your back. Let that blue fill every lymph gland of your body, seeing it light up like a Christmas bulb around all those glands around your ankles, of your lymphatics, hundreds of glands in your small intestine and digestion, and around your where your underwear hits the where your thigh and your torso meet. It's like the underwear line. Let that blue light up all the lymph glands in your breast, male and female, both have them. And let that blue light up and fill the glands of your jaw and your neck and your ears. Letting your lymphatics know it can relax, be in harmony, be in flow. Take a deep, deep breath. Fill through the whole body. Beautiful. And let that blue now fill your head, your face, your beautiful face, your arms, your hands. Allowing this to be your reset back into harmony, flow, grace. Knowing that there is an order in your life and in your day. If you could only quiet enough and listen and follow that impulse in your heart. Reset. Revitalizing, calming your immune system, your lymphatic system. That there is no threats outside of you. The good news and the bad news is it's within you. Creating harmony and flow within your digestion, within your lymphatics. Beautiful. And take another deep, deep breath. Fill through your whole body and then make any sound that wants to come out through the out-breath. Wonderful. And then just noticing your felt sense again as we finish, noticing your feet and your legs. I really appreciate you going on this journey with me today. And I feel grateful that I can have this opportunity to express. Very excited about this book. I'm finishing it in the next couple months and looking to begin to do a talking tour, a book tour with it. And offers are already starting to come in. It's interesting. And really grateful, really thankful about that. And October 3rd, so that's coming up, not this weekend, I believe, but next weekend, yeah, 2 weeks, having a day workshop, 11 to 4, on falling into your authentic self. And why falling? Because it's fall, of course. And also because it's about letting go, opening up to what you already are. And so if we try to create our authentic self, we end up creating something false. But if we yield to that self that is never born and never dies, that self that is always within you, then we find that authentic self that includes all our perceived imperfections and flaws, right? So it's part of the beautifulness of it, that when you accept those or notice that they don't contradict, like LeMay was talking, she goes, you know, they're always going to have that human stuff, and then you're going to have this mission, and it's like, I think I said the last radio show, I got to meet some of Mahatma Gandhi's friends about a month ago, and they were saying his struggles of being a father. And then my friend, who is a good friend with a guru, that she had a health issue she struggles with. And, you know, and that we think that we have to be perfect to bring forward our blessings and gifts on the planet. But that the moment we realize that's not true, or I've realized that's not true, and I'm realizing that more and more. But the moment I realize that, it's like, then you're free. So we're going to explore that and, on October 3rd. It's only, I'm going to include some liver and cleansing juices. The day is, if you haven't seen me for an individual session, it's 125. But if you are a regular client or mentee, and I've seen you in the last month, it is 95. So that's coming up. And then also October 24th, Love and Intimacy Workshop at Body Energy Fitness. And this is an approach to intimacy and love, of course, more from the self-acceptance or mothering model. And there'll be some incredible processes of and teachings around allowing deeper intimacy and, of course, love in your life and in your world. Who wouldn't want that, right? So that's October 24th, and you have to call Body Energy Fitness for that. Talk to Tracy to sign up for that day. All right, sweethearts, please pass on what you learned. Please take the risk of growing. Please be willing to change. I need you. The world needs you. And every person that is willing to shine and step out and makes a difference on the planet, it truly, truly does. Many blessings to you, and thank you for taking this time for yourself to look within. Much love.